Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. And today, my guest, well, I'm only going to introduce her to say she's none other than the SEO DJ herself, Lily Ray. Hello.
Hey. Hi, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Just for the people in the audience who don't know your background, please could you give me an overview of how you started in the SEO industry and where you are now on that journey?
Sure, yeah. My current title is Senior SEO Director and Head of Organic Research at an agency called AMSIV, based in New York City. And I have been doing SEO coming up on 14 years now. And I started in also in New York City at a small startup when I was still finishing university, and dove into another like kind of in-house startup position for a year where I really kind of learned everything myself, like watching lots of videos and learning everything on the job, and then dove into the agency world after that. So I guess it's been like 12 years or a little bit more for agency SEO life. I've been serving in a director role for, God, I don't know, maybe eight years now, overseeing many, many clients, many teammates, you know, lots of different employees and different people throughout that journey. Our team is currently about 35 people, maybe 100 clients. I can't even keep track. People come in and out. But yeah, so kind of seen it all, with the exception of a few categories online that I don't really get into. But, you know, with being in the agency world for so long, you see so many different types of clients. So a lot of SEO experience.
Right. And what made you get into the industry in the first place?
I kind of fell into it because it was a job that paid at a time when there were very few paying jobs. This was around the 2008 recession, just shortly after. And nobody was finding jobs, like especially I went to NYU, New York University, and like people that were graduating from university and from law school and things like this, like were just not finding employment. So it was pretty scary. I was on a track to do political science and maybe law, like law school. But I found the SEO job when I was just looking for some, you know, some income as a college student. And it turns out I was really good at it. And it turns out it was very natural to me. My family on my father's side is in tech. So I grew up actually like in the Bay Area. My father was in Silicon Valley from the 80s. And so it felt very familiar, like the whole SEO thing. My brother's a web developer, so I was like chatting him on GChat at the time, like learning about SEO and coding and stuff like this. So I fell in love with it really fast. And I'm really happy that that happened because it completely like took my life in a different direction.
So. Yes, I can relate to the 2008 moment. I think I was, struggling trying to keep my agency afloat. That's how I'd best describe it. The passion, you know, why have you stayed in the industry?
I love SEO and like it's hard for some people to understand. I mean, like it's definitely hard for my friends that don't have jobs like this where, you know, a lot of my friends in New York are like artists, musicians, like people in the service industry, aspiring actors, like things like this. And, you know, they can't comprehend like loving a corporate job the way that I love my job. And it's not even about the job. It's about what I'm doing. Like, and it also, it's not about necessarily helping a random insurance company to like make more money. Like that's not part that that's great, but like, that's not the part that I love. I really truly love like the internet. Like I've grown up on the internet, like many of us, but you know, I was born in 89. So like literally I grew up with the internet and I love search. Like I love philosophically and fundamentally like what it is and what it does. So when Google and search engines like evolve and change and there's all these new rules of the game and you have to kind of interpret what that means for your clients and think about the trends like in the data, like I love it. I love what I do. And this is why you'll see me tweeting about SEO at 10 o'clock at night because like I'm still thinking about it. So that passion has definitely fueled like the work that I do with my team and for our clients. And it makes it feel like it's not a job. It's just like something that I love to do, which is pretty awesome.
Right. Like, because you're in the agency life, how have you sort of managed the sort of ever-changing world recently?
Yeah, it's not easy at all, at all. It feels relentless lately. Like, it feels like, you know, a lot of people are like, you should take a few days off and, like, not think about it. And, like, I get it. I'm all about mental health and, like, taking care of yourself and all those things. Like, I know. but I kind of don't feel like I can. And of course I can. You know what I mean? Like, mental health comes first. But lately, it's been so relentless with new developments. You know, now we have AI, so it's actually literally every minute there's something new. but even with Google, it's like so many new changes, so many new products, so many things that we're finding and people messaging me with questions and problems. And it's just constant. So I kind of serve in that role on behalf of our agency and our team. You know, my team is, again, like 35 people, and most of them don't want like a public facing role. Most of them are happy to, like, you know, like put their heads down and do the work for the clients and then talk to each other internally, but not really like put themselves out there. So I like do a lot of that for the team. There's a few other people that are doing it as well, but like, that means that, you know, 24/7, I'm like, what's going on out there and how do I interpret this back for our team and our clients? So unless there's an unusually slow, quiet period from Google, which is rare, I'm kind of always working.
Yeah, I get the sense from some of your tweets lately that you're getting a little bit frustrated at the search results, especially, dare I say, parasite.
Yeah. So, like, to be clear, there's always been these tactics that, you know, you basically find a loophole on Google and you can kind of take advantage of them and make money. Like, that's been, and we're now learning that, like, with this article that happened on The Verge, for example, a lot of people in society think that's what SEOs do. And, like, they're not wrong. Like, that's a component or a segment of SEO that's always been there. And it probably used to be there a lot more than it is now, or maybe now it's growing again. But, like, to be clear, like, a lot of people are like, oh, Lily, you didn't know that people have been doing this for a long time. I'm like, no, I literally know, because when I started, I was doing black hat stuff. But the difference is, it's the last, like, let's say 5 years until maybe this year, it was much harder to get away with these kinds of like loopholes. It was much harder to see as much success as a lot of people are seeing right now. So it's frustrating because, number one, I hate spam in general. Like, I hate the idea that people are taking advantage of each other online, especially financially. Like, I just hate that, like, from an ethical perspective. But beyond that, like, Google was doing such a good job of, you know, communicating certain ideas, and largely, like, you would see consistency with what was happening in the search results. Of course, there's exceptions. Of course, there's loopholes. But, like, generally speaking, what they were saying and what they were doing was pretty consistent. I thought so, at least. And it was much easier to do what they were recommending for your clients, or like not do the things that they were, you know, saying not to do, and see success. And that makes it much more fulfilling when you're an SEO, when you're recommending something and it works or doesn't work, you know, like when you have those clear signals. The last few months, it's been frustrating because, listen, people can go make money on Google. I'm not like against anybody, you know, doing that. That's their own choice. But like, it's becoming so successful, and it feels like Google's not responding very quickly. I know that they said that they're going to respond, but they haven't yet. And so it makes these people feel empowered to do more of it. And now with like almost no barrier to entry with like AI tools and things like this, it's becoming an exponentially worse problem every day. And it's very frustrating for clients, for example, who are trying to do things right and create a great brand, to see that they're being outranked by spam left and right. That's just frustrating, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, personally, you know, the conversation is, okay, well, we're doing everything you're saying, we're doing everything right, but there's all these that are just spamming things, they're buying links, they're doing all this, and they're taking my business away from me. So why yeah. shouldn't we do that if it's clearly working? I mean, that sort of conversation you must have somewhere down the lines with a few clients. How do you sort of deal yeah. with them sort of conversations?
Yeah, that's exactly the conversation I have all the time. And our team has all the time, especially with like newer clients that come to us. You know, experienced SEO teams and big brands, generally speaking, understand the context. They have history, they have experience, they understand the risk. They don't want to take big risks. So they know that they're playing the long game. You know, more like sophisticated clients understand that. Clients that come in and maybe they're new to SEO, maybe they're getting their advice from questionable sources, or they just want to move really fast, they'll ask those questions. And you have to be like, well, it's like going to the doctor and being like, well, I've been smoking cigarettes for 3 months and I feel fine. You know, what's the problem? And the doctor's like, yeah, but like over time, it's going to be a problem. It's like that. So like when you have the experience of doing this over time, you have to just be like, listen, please stay the course. Don't do anything like that'll get you in trouble, you know. But it does come at the cost of things taking longer. Like you don't see the rapid growth that you might see from some of these other tactics, but we don't want to see the crash that happens on the other side.
Yeah.
Or definitely. An agency. We can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen that so many times over the past two decades. And it's yeah. not nice because people don't realize it's not just rankings. It's people's yeah. livelihoods you're dealing with.
Exactly.
It's not just the business, the owner of the business. It's all their employees. And literally, I've seen, you know, directors come to me literally in tears saying, you know, I'm going to have to sack everybody because of this X, Y, Z. You know, and I think a lot of time people don't feel or relate to that side of SEO, that, you know, you're there making a real difference to people's lives, negative or positive.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you're not owed this career, right? You're building a career on the back of Google's algorithm, which is somebody else's algorithm. It's unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen. So like, I understand that nobody owes us this career. Like thank you, Google and search engines, for giving us this opportunity and giving us a chance to make money online. So I get that, but like, you're right. And, you know, when things like the helpful content update happened, which just happened in September, you get this new batch of people, site owners, bloggers largely, who didn't see it coming and are devastated, right? They built a blog, let's say for 5 or 10 years. They saw a lot of success, so they dropped everything else and they just did that. Maybe they have some people that they work with. And then the helpful content update comes out and they lose 90% of the traffic. And then what? Those people come to people like me and my team, like desperate for help. So we're on the receiving end of a lot of desperation, of a lot of people, like you said, we hear sob stories all the time. I had a message yesterday from somebody who is involved in one of the wars that's happening in the world right now. And all she has is internet access, and she would like me to mentor her because she has nothing as a result of a war. I'm like, the level of messages that I'm getting right now of desperation, of people that need help, of people that like don't know what to do. Like you said, people don't realize that's part of the job of SEOs sometimes, is to like almost be like therapists and like, okay, I'm trying to help, you know, which is like goes back to what we said earlier, where like it's very frustrating when the things that we believe and things that we've seen are true with SEO don't appear to be true right now. And for the record, I think that this is temporary. I think that there's a lot going on with Google. I think that they'll get back on track, I hope. But it has been quite a bit frustrating to not be able to tell these people we can confidently help you, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I think there's always been moments in time throughout SEO, just like there was when the initial Panda and Penguin hit, You know, there's always going to be these times, but I think you just need to be adaptable. I think adaptability is a word, a key.
Yeah.
And I think that for SEOs themselves, how would you recommend that SEOs start thinking about adaptability?
Yeah, it's not easy. I think probably the best way is to have some type of project that you're doing that's a personal project, or maybe you're building your own personal brand, or you're helping a family member or a friend build something. I would say those have been the most illuminating experiences and helpful experiences that I've had as an SEO, because you're not just recommending, you know, telling a client to go do a bunch of redirects or go change your titles to this. Like, it's like, that's fine. That's simple stuff, but there's no experience like, you know, building somebody's small business website and Google business profile and helping them market it and then making decisions about like, how are we going to build citations? How are we going to, you know, what kind of content marketing should we do? Should we do email? Like all of that goes together. So it gives you the opportunity to like diversify your skill set and learn about different WordPress plugins and different whatever, like all these different decisions you have to make. So I think, yeah, building something holistically is the best type of experience you can have. So you're not just doing one single thing.
Yeah. Do you personally have a specific area of SEO that you really enjoy and focus on more than any other?
Yeah, it's been different over time. At my last agency, we were very focused on retail and e-commerce. So I was working a lot on e-commerce sites, a lot on fashion and beauty, which was fun, like straight up just e-commerce sites for fashion and beauty brands. That transitioned into a lot of Amazon SEO. So I actually like started learning Amazon SEO and built a little team at my old agency. And now they're doing full on, like that's what they do. They do a lot of Amazon search for different brands. I didn't love that, for the record. Amazon is a different animal, but did a lot of e-commerce and retail on what we call CPG, consumer packaged goods, for a while. And then the last 3 or 4 years, first it was a lot of health clients around the time of the Medic update and financial, your money, your life type clients. And now it's almost exclusively publishers, news sites and publisher sites, because I oversee a small team within our SEO team that we call the audit team. We're actually called SEO Speedwagon. That's what we call ourselves internally. But we do audits for brands for different things. And a lot of that this year has been Google Discover audits that I've been doing.
Right. I mean, the audit process, just discovering something that either they're not doing right or, you know, you think, now this is it. Do you get a real buzz out of, you know, finding things out?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, audits are grueling. Like, they're exhausting, for the record. Like, our audits that we deliver are, at this point, sometimes like 100 to 120 pages. And, you know, a lot of SEO agencies and SEO practitioners, of course, they deliver large audits as well. But what they do is often they have a template that they fill things in, or maybe they have a team checking boxes and filling things in. We don't really do things that way. There's obviously some templatization. There's some things that happen the same for each, you know, site that we're looking into, but almost always what our clients are paying for is a completely custom, like handwritten, this is the situation for your site. This is the landscape. And we're using so many different tools and looking at so many different things and talking about the whole situation strategically. And it's like, to your point, it's very, very fulfilling. It's very fun. I think some of the most fun projects I've had in the last couple of years have been like, hey, we're a big brand. You know us, like everyone knows us. We have a very robust SEO team, very sophisticated SEO program, but we need a second set of eyes. We need a second team to look at it. And we need them to tell us what we're doing right and wrong and what we could be doing more of. That's like the most fun for me right now, because, you know, it's much more fulfilling than like, you need to put these keywords in your metadata, you know? So the strategy is really fun, but it's the hardest part. It's like, it's hard. It keeps me up at night. Like, I dream about my client strategies.
Have you ever been in a situation where, obviously, when you are second guessing or analyzing what another SEO team has done, have you had any backlash to say, oh, well, you know, why haven't you found this? Or, you know, from the other teams when you've presented the audit, has there been any backlash from the internal SEO team?
Yes, that happens. That happens. It's definitely never our goal. You know, it's never our goal to go in there and make anybody look bad. And so we very much try to be diplomatic. You know, if there's ever a situation where it's like, hey, like, tell the SEO directly that there's something broken, like, we'll try to be cool. And we're not trying to get anybody fired. But it has happened. And I would say more so on the technical side. We have a very strong technical team, very strong. And, you know, you can be a really great web developer. And I would say probably most web developers who are really great don't know SEO stuff. And that's fine because it's a different skill. My brother's a professional web developer of many years, 20 plus years. And, you know, he knows a good amount of stuff. And he also like listens to what I talk about. But there's a lot of stuff that I recommend to him. And he's like, oh, that makes sense that search engines would work like that. I haven't thought about that before, you know? So we try to like educate people and explain pros and cons, explain why certain things are, and sometimes even tell clients like, hey, just because this thing wasn't fixed, it doesn't mean that your developers or your SEO team is bad. Like there's always more things to fix. There's always more things to look at. That's why they get a second set of eyes, you know? But yes, you have to be very diplomatic. And I always tell my team, do not present that in that way. That's like, oh, this is super broken. You know, present it as like, we found this opportunity, might want to consider this and this, you know?
Yeah. Do you find that in the SEO industry, there's a big skill gap as in communication skills?
Yeah. I mean, SEO is a funny job or career path because it's so many skills in one. And, you know, I don't think it's possible to be an SEO professional that's good at all of them. I just don't think it is. You can be, you'd be decent at all of them, but to be great at all of them, I don't think it's possible. I don't think that there's a single SEO in the world who's a stellar technical SEO, a stellar content SEO, incredible at local SEO. What else? Understands international SEO inside and out, and is an amazing client communicator, and is amazing at GA4, and is, you know, it goes on and on. I just don't think there is one, and that's fine. I'm not good at all those things. I'm good at a lot of those things, but not all of them. That's why my team is 35 people. And that's why there's people on the team who are literally only technical SEO. They spend all day in tech SEO tools, looking at JavaScript rendering, looking at sitemaps, looking at redirects. Like, I don't want to do that. I like doing that, but I don't want to do that because I know my skills are in actually strategy, communication, like other things. But I think it's very important to block and tackle with different people who have different skills. And when you don't know something and when you're not good at something, like sharing that responsibility or recommending somebody else for the job. But to your point, yeah, I don't think that people who are, for example, amazing at technical SEO are always going to be amazing at communication as well. It's quite different skills, right?
Yes. I agree with you 100% there. You know, I mean, no matter how long you've been in the industry, you always find your area, your expertise, and leaving others to do what they need to do, but having an understanding of why they're doing things.
Yeah. That's the hardest part to teach, I think. And probably like the biggest opportunity for most new SEOs is to connect the dots with what they're working on and why it matters, or to prioritize what matters the most. Because when you're learning SEO, you're learning all these individual little tactics. Oh, canonicals do this, and redirects do this, and 404s do this. And like, you have to memorize like all this trivia, you know? And then someone gives you a website and you're like, do SEO. And you're like, I found 5 404 errors and the meta descriptions are too long because one of the tools told me that. And so suddenly you're telling a new client, your meta descriptions are too long, you know, and we're like, those of us who have been doing this for a while, like, no, that's not it. That's not, that's not a good place to start. We'll get there in like 3 years, maybe, but when we finish all the other stuff. So we really try to help our team. Like, why was that important? What's this going to do for the business? How does the business make money? Who's their audience? You know, but it's very hard to teach.
Yes, I think a lot of the training I personally do is to build that business mindset into what the marketing team's doing. And I think sometimes, you know, marketers and SEOs can be so wrapped up in their own little bubble that they forget about what's happening outside of it, in like how it pieces together within the business.
Yeah, it's very easy to become myopic in SEO, and I'm very guilty of that. Very guilty. I think it became pretty clear, at least for me, like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, that I started to really become passionate about SEO, that I didn't like most other channels. Like, I'm not interested in most other channels. You know, I've dabbled in them. I would say I'm pretty decent at social media, for example. I paid search and ads. I know it's very important to understand. I know, like, it obviously, like, understanding the interplay between paid and organic is essential to know. But I don't like it. Like, I don't like doing advertising. I don't like the fact that you can bid on competitor names. I hate it. The fact that I like search for a brand when I'm in New York City and another brand shows up in the paid search, it makes me feel gross. Sorry to all the people that do advertising. I know that's the rules of the game, but I'm like, I like SEO because in theory, it's rewarding the best content that people like the most. People don't like clicking on ads. That's just a fact. So I like to do things that feel good.
You know? Yes, don't we all? I might regret getting into this, but content. What's your view on the whole content situation that's, you know, discussion and happening and quality and everything?
Like AI, or what are we referring to?
Just in general. Obviously, AI, for me, AI is not, it's just a way of streamlining what you're doing. I don't see AI as a tool to create things. You know, I see it as a tool to assist things, but I think the industry has gone a bit mad. I think they've lost focus in some areas of what's really important when it comes to content. And they're just in this mindset of the more content we push out, the better, the more organic we're going to get.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot of people treat SEO like a slot machine. You know, it's like, if I just keep doing the thing over and over and over, maybe I'll see success. And maybe once in a while you strike gold, right? So I just keep doing that. And I'm like, look at the bigger picture right now. Bigger picture. Google has shown so many signs of not being able to handle or wanting to handle or process all of the content that's being created. That's not to say that they're not trying to index all of the world's information. That's what they're doing. That's their MO. But their criteria for indexing is changing. Very obvious to anybody that's paying attention. Their ability to index all of this is changing and to crawl all of this. Not to mention, the impact of so much crawling on the world. Like, I didn't even really know about this, but probably know Yoast from the WordPress plugin. He's actually a real man named Yoast. He talks about this a lot, and I've learned a lot from him, because it's like not good for the environment to have this much crawling. And the problem is growing exponentially. So, knowing those things and knowing like Google is becoming stricter with its criteria for what is good quality content, and things like the helpful content update happen, and all this content that we thought was good content or decent content because Google was rewarding it before. And my team, we've helped a lot of companies who are hit by the helpful content update. I'm still doing that right now. It looks good to you because you made it. I'm sorry. It's your baby. I hate to call your baby ugly, but it's not the best content. And I understand it must be very frustrating and heartbreaking to hear that. But like Google only gets to show, what, 7 on the first page? 10? Like, you're not in the top 7, you know? So those conversations are hard. But like to your point, using AI to mass auto-generate this stuff is probably not going to put you in the top 7. There's ways to do AI that are amazing. Use AI that are amazing. I use it all the time. People don't realize, like, I use AI every day. But I would never tell ChatGPT or Claude to write me an article about toothpaste and then put that on a client's website. I would never do that.
Yeah, I think for me, AI is just automated what a lot of people was historically doing manually anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I think it's just, and because of that, then the amount of content has increased. But for me, it's just like, well, if all you're doing is saying the same thing as 1,000 and 100,000 other people, then you're not going to get any traction.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's the funny part is how people respond to this. They're like, oh, well, I'm just going to tell ChatGPT to pretend like it's an expert on toothpaste. And then I'm going to have it write 5 original insights about toothpaste. And that'll fix the problem. Like, still didn't fix the problem. It's like, you always try to find all these workarounds other than just like doing the hard work, which is funny. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that regardless of whether or not search engines can actually technically identify AI content, there are probably a lot of signals that users don't love it. So they can pick up on those.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But alternatively then, what would you recommend to SEOs to, you know, get them into the right mindset now of moving forward in this vast AI world we're living in?
Yeah, I've been recommending pretty consistent stuff for a while. It hasn't really changed. I think whatever it is that you're writing about, or producing content about, it's really not that controversial. It's like, you know, if you're working with a pest control company, go talk to your staff about what have you been seeing on the ground in New York City this season as it relates to pest control. You know, I'm writing an article about the rat problem in Brooklyn. And they're going to be like, well, you know, in this part of town, there's this thing happening and we noticed that over here, there's this problem with the subway or like whatever it is, they are literally going to be able to talk to you about their job because it's their job. A lot of SEOs are, instead of doing that or working with their clients to go do that, they're like, maybe if we look on this SEO tool for all the mentions of how to say the word rat without saying rat or all these other related rodents that we should be talking about, like, that's not it. What you want to do is have people who know what they're talking about add value to the content. And then the person reading it is going to be like, oh, I didn't realize there was a rat problem in that part of Brooklyn, right? So produce content when you actually have something meaningful to say and when it's actually within your area of expertise. And if you don't have access to those things, find a way to get access to them. Find a way to talk to those experts and produce something original. You know, I was talking to a client yesterday who does music blogging. Turns out he's been to the concerts and taken photos himself. He has professional photography all over the site. And I was like, who took these photos? He's like, oh, me. Like, I like taking photos of the concerts that I go to. I was like, boom, amazing. Most of my clients don't say that, but do that. That's really cool. You know, that's a way to set your content apart.
Yeah, I think
hard work. But,
yeah, no. I think it's because it's just normal for them. You know, they don't see it as anything different. It's just normality to them. And I think that, you know, I think when it comes to research and content, I think search volumes have, you know, for me, search volumes are just a guide, but I think people take them literally. And,
yeah,
you know, I think that, as you say, talking to your clients, talking to your clients' customers even, you know, and that's as far, you know, far down the line. And I remember helping to create it were only 500 words blog. The search tools said, well, no one searches that. And I think it's like 3,500 to 4,000 visitors a month to that one page.
Yeah. Yeah. It ranks for many other keywords than the one keyword you were looking at. That's Patrick Stocks, who works at Ahrefs, posted that yesterday. Because there's an Ahrefs article about, like, I forgot the exact statistics, but it's like, if you rank number one for a keyword with X volume or whatever, you also rank number one for 1,000 other keywords, but with much lower volumes. And the tools aren't always going to tell you that, right? So it's less, like you said, it's directional. Like, yes, of course, if something has 10 times more search volume than another thing, and you think you can go after that, do that. But yeah, if something is super, super relevant and has 20 monthly search volume, you should still have that on your site. Yeah. You know.
So you personally, what, I don't know if I'm going to regret this, but what annoys you about the SEO industry at the moment?
Oh God, so many things to say. Well, I don't know. I think there generally speaking, I would call our industry pretty friendly and pretty supportive of one another. Generally. There's a lot of other people who are, I think it's because the Twitter X algorithm changed pretty substantially in the last year. It's amplifying different content in different ways. And it's also attracting a lot of people to my content who are more essentially trolls or just very competitive and a bit mean. And listen, I can have thick skin. I can get over it. It's not bothering. It's not keeping me up at night. It's annoying, but there's a lot of people who are like very condescending and arrogant and competitive and will laugh at you when you fail or will make you try to feel small. For a lot of them, it's all about how much money you can make in SEO and nothing else matters. And they'll say this. Doesn't matter if it got people in trouble or if it did because I made this much money per month. And I'm like, I have never in my life, for the record, told anybody publicly anything about how much money I make, which, like, to me, that just feels like common decency. Like, what are we doing bragging about how much money we're making? It's just, to me, it's strange. And I get that people are excited because, yeah, you can make all this money on Google, but then it attracts more and more spam and more people who are just interested in the money and not interested in what they're doing to the internet. So that fundamentally bothers me because, like I said before, I want to feel like I'm doing something good for people that use the internet, you know, helping them find what they're actually looking for. So that's a big kind of dumbed down version of lots of different things that are bothering me about the industry lately.
That was a very polite explanation.
I'm losing patience. If you couldn't tell, my patience has gone like down this year.
but I was going to say, I mean, I personally get a lot of private messages to saying, well, I want to talk to you about this, but I don't want to tweet it in case I get blasted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, there's a whole community called Women in Tech SEO, which yes. You probably know. It's the, first of all, growing exponentially. It's only available to women. People who identify as women. And it is the most polite, helpful, nurturing, just kind, open environment I've ever experienced on the internet, for sure. And the conferences are a big love fest. Everyone's helping each other. Everyone's mentoring each other. Everyone's hugging each other. I DJed one of the after parties for a Women in Tech SEO conference. It was all women. Everyone was dancing and having fun and loving each other. And I'm like, it's possible, right, to be in an industry where we all support each other. And credit to Areej and the women running that group, because I'll see people from my team. I'll see women from my team in there participating that would never post anything on Twitter. So to your point, yes, it creates a lot of imposter syndrome and a lot of gatekeeping. I experienced a lot of imposter, I still do, you know, imposter syndrome and gatekeeping earlier in my career that prevented me from ever thinking I was qualified to speak. Now I don't feel like that anymore. Now I'm like, I don't care if you don't like what I have to say because I'm going to tell you my experience. That's it, you know? And I try to encourage so many other people to feel that way. But the bullies make it really hard to do that, unfortunately.
Yes. Well, I mean, What, you know, Arij and the others have done with that is astronomical. I mean, I interviewed, I think it was during COVID, you know, on how she's started. And since then, it's just blasted. I mean,
it's amazing.
I really don't know how, you know, everyone finds the time, you know, because yeah. people don't understand that it doesn't just happen overnight. Success yeah. doesn't happen overnight. And I think a lot of people who are seen as successful get a lot of negativity because they're successful. But for me, it's because, well, you're not successful because, quite frankly, you don't want to put the hard work into it.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too. People are very jealous. They're very spiteful. They're very mean-spirited. They try to bring you down. And when I say people, this is a small group of people. This is not everyone. But I think that, this type of behavior is being amplified online quite a bit, which is one of the problems. But to your point, the number of messages that I get and questions that I get from people who, listen, I know I have my DMs open on Twitter. I know that I've set myself up for this. I can always close that. But the number of people who reach out and haven't Googled the question that they're asking me. Like, I don't mean to be mean. I'm getting to a point where I have very little patience, but I'm like, you know that a great SEO would be able to find that on Google. Like, as part of your job description, a great SEO would be able to understand how to use the search engine to answer that question very easily. But you want me to go do that for you? Or you want to pick my brain, which, by the way, I don't have any time right now at all. I hardly have time to sleep. So, like, you want to cut into my sleep time for me to do that when you could have Googled it? Not going to be a great SEO. I'm sorry. You're just not. Because you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to search. Like,
yeah.
Is that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
SEO 101.
Yeah, use Google. It's the best tool we have, you know?
Yeah. And it's, I think some people are just, I don't know whether it's laziness or whatever it is, but I need to ask you about where things are heading. Sure. Well, I mean, what's your perception or beliefs or thoughts on where the SEO industry is heading?
Well, I would like to think that what we're currently experiencing, let's say the last 3 months, because the last 3 months have been pretty chaotic in our space. And I feel like we're seeing a quite disproportionate amount of low quality results and spam compared to normal on Google. I don't know why. There's obviously some bigger things happening. There's obviously the fact that Google launched Gemini 2 days ago, which is one of the most advanced AI products in human history. That was probably quite distracting for them internally to build that. Google had a lot of layoffs recently. You know, there's fewer people working on Google News, for example. There are really big things happening in the world. There's Google being investigated by the Department of Justice right now, and Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, testifying to, you know, the Department of Justice right now. Like, in the last few weeks, that's been happening. They've been subpoenaed and documents are being revealed about how search works. All these big earth-shattering things are happening in our industry. So I think that maybe explains why some things have been maybe, let's say, a bit maybe neglected in search and discover. Sorry, Google. I mean, I don't know what's happening there. It just looks like that a bit. So assuming that this is a fluke and assuming that this isn't our future state on Google forever, because if it is, that changes the rules of the game quite a bit, by the way. But assuming that Google will continue to get better at identifying spam and producing high quality content, I think we're absolutely going in a direction of highlighting individual creators more and more. Authentic human voices. I don't know if making Reddit rank number one for everything is the solution to that, but I think Google will continue to try to do that. And I think that we will see more algorithm updates that will take down spam, including mass auto-generated content with AI. Whether or not Google says that they're doing that, I think they will.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be even more important moving forward for the people working within the businesses to have to build a personal brand around the business?
Yeah, I think whether or not they choose to do that around the business, you know, building a personal brand is the single most effective thing that you can do for SEO. Just going to say it. Like, you know, Barry Schwartz in our industry, like, unfortunately, he shares a name with another technologist named Barry Schwartz, who's the one that Google highlights in the knowledge graph. So maybe not the best example, but like, let's use someone else. Let's use Rand Fishkin, you know, obviously has a very big presence online, but like Google knows who they are. Google knows them as an entity, and people like to debate me on this, but it's pretty clear. Google knows what books they've written. Google knows the articles that they've written. They know at this point, who is their wife? Where do they live? Right? All these other details. And now with SGE, I mean, you can ask SGE like specific questions and it finds the answers pretty easily about people and about, you know, where they work and all these things. So you want to put your best foot forward online. And I think that over time, Google will draw more and more from like, hey, we know that that's Lily and she writes about and speaks about SEO a lot. So that AMPSIV article written by her gets a boost. I personally think that that is happening. It will continue to happen. People like to debate me on that, but I see that as the future of SEO.
No, I mean, I've done a lot of work on my own personal brand to link every sort of, I mean, everyone calls them entities, but things I do, make sure they all link together in a field. And I'm seeing, actually, over time, Google's picking up on these. You know, they're picking up on the books I've written. They're picking up on, you know, things I've done that, you know, so it does make a big difference to the world, not just my personal brand. And I feel as though I've taken over the top half of the results page. You know, unfortunately, I share it with, you know, like doctors who, you know, just find things to solve cancer or things like that, you know, it's different. So obviously when the news article comes out for them, it's different. But I do feel as though all these different links together, you know, and Jason Barnard and Dixon Jones and everyone has been talking about this for a long time now.
Yeah, it's not a new trend. It's definitely something that is hard for many SEOs to, number one, believe is possible. Number two, understand how to take these details and apply them to a strategy or communicate to clients why this is important. You know, putting an author bio on your site, Google has said time and time again, when directly asked, is that a ranking factor? Does that help with SEO rankings? And they're like, no, you know, because Google will not tell you doing X little thing is a ranking factor. Because guess what? Everyone goes and sells it on Upwork and like, you know, builds farms in Southeast Asia to build author bios. You know, it's like, that's not the point. The point is good performing sites, strong sites with great EEAT that people like have author bios. And the author bios are very robust and it's very easy to tell who that author is. So do that. Do what the good sites are doing. And guess what? Users like it. Users like it. I like knowing who the author is. There's like Condé Nast at this point. There's certain publications that they have where their travel bloggers will link from their author bio to their Instagram page. And you can go see on their Instagram, they actually did spend the last 6 months in Bali. You know, the article that I'm reading about 10 things to do in Bali was written by somebody who's in Bali right now. You know, I like that as a user. So it's good for users. Even if it's not great for SEO, it's good for users.
Yeah, it's like whatever you publish, you have to be able to back it up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way I see it. And I think if you can't back up what you're publishing, does it deserve to get ranked?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I like to practice what I preach as far as creating content. So, you know, I think I don't know this for a fact, but I imagine there's other SEO agencies out there who have, okay, guys, we need to write this content. We need to create this editorial calendar where we create content about how to do SEO or the recent core update. And you have to write on this cadence and you have to write at these times. And these are the search volumes and this is how you have to write. And then it's like, you're churning out content to like, what is a title tag? What is a canonical? You know, we don't do that on our blog, like me, especially. I wrote once about pagination because it came up with our clients and I figured out how to do it properly. And I actually talked to John Mueller for like a while about it. And then I wrote what I learned. I also worked with Botify to get some case studies about pagination. That's why I wrote that article, because I had something to say and it ranks very well. I write about updates when they happen based on the data that I'm seeing. I write about big trends on Google based on what we're seeing with our clients. But I only write when I'm inspired to write, when something happens. Those articles do very well. You know, so I think approaching content from like a place of like, hey, I'm a pest control guy in Brooklyn and we're seeing this problem happening over here. It's really important for us to share this with the world. Let's create a piece of content, you know? It's a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah. Now, oh my goodness, the time is rocking on, but do you think there's anything that the listeners and audience really needs to know that we haven't spoken about yet?
Yeah, I think just understanding like what's feasible, what's not feasible, how long it's going to take, and being patient and playing the long game. Why are you in the business of doing SEO? What are your goals? And how much risk are you willing to take? I think like all these questions are important to answer from the start. Like, again, if you want to make as much money as possible, as fast as possible, and you're okay with losing your whole site in 3 months, that's possible. That's doable. I'm not the right person to follow for that guidance. They're out there. They're not hard to find. If you want to build a brand and do things right and play the long game because you're building something that you care about, like you can follow people like me because that's what we're talking about. So I think understanding that nuance is really important. And also understanding that when you do things the way that my team and I are doing things, it's very competitive and it takes a long time. Yeah. So you have to be patient. Yeah.
Right. Now, you did mention you get an awful lot of messages. So when would you like people to contact you and where could they contact you?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I know I sound very impatient. It's the end of the year and it's been a lot. The past few months have been grueling. So I'm normally a lot kinder than this. But anyway, my inboxes are open. I'm happy to receive messages from people. When people have a specific situation with their site that they think is relevant to the things that I'm posting about, and it's like, hey, Lily, like, just thought this would be helpful for you to know. Like, you know, have you seen this before? Generally speaking, like, I'm like, yeah, let's talk about that. Or if somebody's like, hey, like, who's a good person to help with international SEO sitemaps or something, you know, like happy to take that. It's really when people are like, here's my problem with my site. And I tried redirecting this to this page, but I'm wondering if I should like do this and this with AMP and this and this. And I'm like, I can't stop what I'm doing to help you with that problem. Let's do that for my client that I'm working on right now. So that's when it's a bit frustrating, but by all means, you know, reach out, say hi, introduce yourself. You know, people are always like, hey, like, I liked your video about this. You know, what do you think about this? I'm like, cool. I like to be a friend of someone, but just don't expect people to do your work for you. Try to figure it out and then ask for help when you really, really need it.
Wonderful. Well, many, many thanks for joining me today. And it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.